Hello, 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 and welcome to the April 4th edition of the Laughing Plays podcast. My name is Doobie, also known as Fred, and joining me today in Mystery Machine on my left are my good pals Shaggy, Captain John on my right, the lovelier of the two girls, Daphne.
I guess I really don't have anything to say if I'm Daphne.
That would be Rebecca, and across from me,
Scooby-Doo.
Because I was identified more with Astro. Because the intonation is, I know.
So different. The crazy one over there would be Fanboy, as I said. My name is Doobie. I am your host for today's edition, and pretty much every other edition, as I believe. If you'd like to reach us, you can do so at podcast@lessonplace.com. As Fanboy plugs back in the power cable over there. You can
happy tripped over it.
Reach us at 866-718-9408. That call is toll-free. You know, I was listening to Clark Howard this week. He said in 5 years, the words toll-free won't mean anything. I think he's right.
Oh, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. So, or you can post a message on the laughingplace.com discussion boards, if we still have discussion boards by the time
like
you hear
like long-distance phone calls.
Exactly. That was another thing he mentioned. That was pretty funny. Let's see. Any
color television.
Any cleanup before we move on to this week's show? I don't think so. We'd like to hear from you. We heard from you a lot recently, and so today's show is mostly you. Well, with comments from us, but it starts with you.
A salute to all listeners, but mostly you.
The four of these voicemails. So let's get started. Captain, man in charge of the boards, you want to play the first voicemail? And I should add before we start this one, because there's a date mentioned in there, this was actually sent to us on March 15th.
Aloha, DM, RM, FB, and CJ. This is Joel from the Meandering Mouse Club TV podcast. Hey, you guys were talking about the Worldwide Annual Pass, and I just wanted to give you a little bit of feedback on that possibility. I had the chance within an 8-month window to visit 9 of the 11 parks. I went over to Asia, and I went over to the parks in the U.S. Disney, if they're going to look at this Worldwide Annual Pass, then they need to get better support to help people travel there. Travel agents have lots of problems trying to do it. When I called Disney Travel in Anaheim, they, go to the websites of the individual places. Hong Kong, when I dealt with them, they were wonderful. They were willing to bend over backwards and do whatever they could to help you out. They were awesome through the contact, through the website there. Now, Japan was a little bit more difficult, and because of the prices, I ended up staying off property, and the pricing was expensive. I went to see a timeshare presentation in order to get a 50% coupon, 50% off coupon for the Sheraton Grand Tokyo Bay over there. Mm-hmm. Wonderful hotel. I'd recommend it to anybody, but they are pricey even with the 50% off. France, on the other hand though, has just been absolutely horrendous. Their website leaves much, much, much to be desired. The last time I talked to a travel agent, which was just a couple weeks ago, she can't get any pricing for Paris beyond April 3rd. You go to the website, you try and put in information, and it changes around or come up with stuff. Extremely difficult. So long story short, if Disney is going to look at doing that annual, worldwide annual pass, they've got to provide better support from Disney destinations and the other companies involved in order to let people go over there much easier. So anyway, just a little bit of feedback from somebody who's almost done all 11 parks. Hopefully this fall I can say I've done all 11. But anyway, you guys.
We know where he's going with that, I think. that 2-minute limit gets in the way sometimes. I probably could have gave that a better intro. This was in response to that question way back at the shareholder meeting saying, why don't you do passes for all the theme parks? And they said, we'll look into that.
The thing that I was surprised that wasn't mentioned at the meeting. No, I guess I wasn't really surprised that wasn't mentioned at the meeting, but in kind of the talking afterwards, was that each one of these areas is so independently run in many ways. It would take quite a bit of collaborative effort to get such a thing passed because it'll impact, I guess it depends on like what percentage of them are, which park gets the most attendance with this pass or whatever, because there's got to be some cost to the program that's going to be foot by the parks themselves.
But
and so making sure that it kind of is done fair to the parks.
Doesn't
that
it just all comes under what, Disney Parks and Resorts,
yeah, see,
One
no.
Team,
no.
One Dream?
We've been through this myth before.
That's a lot. That's right. A myth, yeah.
well, see, here's the thing. Do you ever think that maybe not a worldwide, but at least like for the American parks, do you think that would happen?
Those are probably the two worst in that. I mean, you've been to Disneyland. You've been to Walt Disney World. Those turnstiles are completely different.
Yep.
What, you know,
ticket media.
One's like Coke and one's like Pepsi and they don't like to mix. It's really, they're completely different.
Now, help me out here. I know Disneyland and Disney World are obviously completely owned and operated by Disney.
For now.
Except for valet. Hong Kong.
They're operated by Disney. They're not fully owned by Disney. Same thing with Disneyland Paris.
What about Tokyo?
They are nothing with Disney.
A company licenses it?
Yeah, I mean, Disney creates the attractions and the entertainment, but the people that work there are not considered Disney employees. The land's not owned by Disney.
Okay. So, I mean, I know the bigwig said that they would look into it, but realistically, this is a much, much bigger problem than it would at first seem.
Well, it's a big undertaking. I mean, I don't see any way that Tokyo would be involved. It would just be probably just the domestic parks, to be perfectly honest. But then perhaps, Paris and Hong Kong they could add in because, quite frankly, if you're buying this pass, you're more than likely an American who might go to Disneyland Paris, and then so it's not like suddenly they're going to sell millions of these in Paris. I mean, and if they do, yay. But it would be a big undertaking. Although, not impossible. I mean, cast members can use their ticket media in all of the parks.
Including Tokyo.
Oh. So
can Tokyo cast members come here?
No.
Now,
Tokyo cast members can't go to their own park.
Last I'd heard.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
That was not a perk of employment there. Last I heard.
Now, I know that one lucky guest actually did get to recently have somewhat of an annual pass for all the parks. He got a free trip to all the parks, right?
Yeah, the Grand Marshal for all 11. He'll be at all 11 parks. He kicked it off on Wednesday as being Grand Marshal in the Magic Kingdom.
Oh, that was the start of it?
Yeah, that was the beginning. And then I don't know where he's... He was an 18-year-old who won because he listened to his grandma. His grandma suggested they weren't going to go on, I think it was Mission Space. They were going to go eat. And grandma said...
And then go on Mission Space?
Yeah, and grandma said, we should really go on Mission Space before we eat.
Grandma's smart.
And so they went to Mission Space, and he was selected, and they are now get an 11-park trip, which, what did I tell you, Daisha? It was $45,000?
Yeah, it was worth $45,000.
That's what they listed as the retail value in the paper. We wondered, does Disney pick up the taxes on that, or do all of a sudden this 18-year-old have $45,000 that he has to figure out how to pay taxes on?
One thing that was interesting is, did you guys go see the Grand Marshal?
No, I wanted to.
I did. But so they had him as the prize-winning Grand Marshal, but they had, like, the regular Grand Marshal as well.
Funny.
So it was, and then the Castle Suite winners. So it was three mainstream vehicles.
Good thing it didn't rain that day. That had been a longer parade than the cavalcade.
Oh, sad.
Well, they couldn't do the cavalcade. They would use the same vehicles. They would have to do the Grand Marshals and then gone around back and... Another one.
It would have been a trial run for that half parade that's being rumored on Jim Hill when they work on the bridge.
I can't wait to see that. I've heard two stories now. I've heard that it's going to go like out the back and that it's going to go around the hub and come back home.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they end up doing if it comes to
I like the around the hub and back home method. That's what we do in Animal Kingdom Parade. We get to see both sides of the parade from the same spot.
Yeah, but that's such a narrow... Can you imagine? Pretty much if you don't get a seat on Main Street, you don't see the parade.
I want to see it because it's a pretty long parade. I figure half will be going up one side and half will be coming down the other.
The parade is not that wide. Okay. I mean, the route is not that wide.
That'd be really cool because Chernabog and Spectrum Magic would like... knock over the Mary Poppins carousel.
Bread and butter. Stay past by.
Anyway, what's he going to Grand Marshal in the Epcot? What parade's he doing there? Do you know?
Well, no, I don't think he's Grand Marshal in every park. He's just, the special guest at every park.
Gotcha.
He's going to ride the swing at the Pixar Play Parade.
Ouch.
Literally.
Yep. I saw a cast member practicing her block party bash routine over here yesterday.
Had the little boombox out with the music.
She comes out with a jump rope, and I'm like, that's an interesting way to exercise. And then I realized she's not jumping. She's just swinging it on either side of her. And then when I walk happy past her, I can hear the music coming out.
Yeah. That was fun. I like living here because of that kind of stuff. You always see the cast.
See, we've got more voicemail to talk about today. The next one comes from some people that are becoming pretty regular callers here.
Woo-hoo!
At the Laughing Place podcast.
They had a 501 bar?
Didn't we leave that like 20 episodes ago? You lost that sponsorship, didn't you?
It's up front or this time, so I'm negotiating with my sponsors.
Okay, well, I hope it all comes out well in the end.
Hey, LPP. Yeah, you know me. By now, you also know who we are. Fanboys Fan Club. We started our new quarter and did well on our exams. Thanks for wishing us luck. Also, thanks for reading our last email. Doobie, we agree with you that Susan Sarandon should have a villain song in Enchanted. In fact, we hadn't thought of that before you brought it up, and it's a marvelous idea.
Thank you.
And for the record, the invitation to visit us at Western is open to all of you. Just let us know if you're bringing a trip. And Doobie, we know you gave Fanboy a tough time last week for bothering us, but don't worry, he's not. So this week, we were talking about your podcast, and we're wondering how it came to be. We've listened to all of your archived podcasts, but it's not really explained. You might have answered this a long time ago on your website, but if you have time, we would love to hear about your Disney backgrounds and how you all came together. In an earlier podcast, Doobie and Rebecca said that they would save the story about how they met for another time. This would be a great chance to fill us all in. All right, that's all for now. This is Fanboys Fan Club, signing off.
I got my own fan club. That's just so cool.
I'm sorry that Happy interrupted. I think a motorcycle must have gone by. That's what tends to get him all hyper.
That was cool. So, Captain.
Captain, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your Disney history.
My Disney? Oh, where to begin? I was born into a family of Disney fans, and it just, you know, comes natural, I guess. But I particularly like pirates. I mean, obviously.
Seriously, really?
Yeah.
I'm curious. Was that your favorite ride growing up?
Oh, yeah. That was my favorite ride growing up.
Okay.
Yeah. Definitely.
My favorite ride was Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Because
there's only one ride at Disneyland.
Oh, stop. You have to tell the story of how when you were little and you used to run around the backyard. I love that story.
Well, actually, apparently, like when I was a whole lot younger, like, I don't know, maybe, what, 3 or 4 or something like that.
Decades ago.
Oh, yeah. Very, very long time. There was a hill in the back, and whenever it would rain, it would make this nice puddle at the bottom. And so I used to go running up the hill, going, yo-ho, yo-ho, pirate's life for me. And I'd run down, whee, splash, and jump in the puddle. That's what I would do. I would recreate Pirates of the Caribbean in my backyard.
That's how you become a pirate.
That's how you become a pirate right there.
And Rebecca, I hear you also come from a Disney family.
Why, yes, I do. My dad was in the New York area when he was watching Walt talk about the development of Disneyland and whatnot, and he became enthralled with the whole idea, and as well as the fact that his beloved Brooklyn Dodgers bailed on him and went to L.A. So a few years later, he and his mom took a trip out to California, and he ended up moving there many, many years later. And our family, it was always traditional that we would visit Disneyland twice a year, typically, usually either spring break or winter break. And then we always went in the summer with a group of girls from Japan that my dad would teach English to. And so I would travel to Disneyland with them. There was probably 100 or so of them. And I'd end up hanging out with a group of about, I don't know, 10 or 15, because they had like little groups. So that way they would all stay together and watch out for each other. And I'd hang out with one of those groups. And it was fun because their English was very, very limited. Probably, I'd say, like maybe third grade, fourth grade level. And so in that way, the English of the attractions was, you know, really, really worked for them since it was geared towards children. So they could understand, you know, as far as the language barrier, that was, you know, it was fun. And they would ask questions about more of the cultural stuff. They would ask questions about things they saw that were unusual to them. And it gave me a chance to always go. Every time I went with a group of people who had never been before. And so there was always that level of excitement. So
you never
just kind of got jaded where you were hanging out with people who were like, oh, yeah, been there, done that.
Hate that.
But then moved away for a little while. When I came back to the parks in the 90s, this is when the internet was beginning to develop and there were lots of geeks online chatting about Disney.
Hate them too.
I got involved with that, and there was one guy who was posting whose name was Doobie.
Hate him.
And so,
yeah, everyone does.
So I was walking by, there was a ragtime piano player on Main Street, Rod Miller.
Him I like.
Yeah, I know you do.
Both hands.
And there were a group of guys sitting around a table there. And I noticed that I'd seen them there several times because I used to go there Saturday nights and
we
just kind of hang out and listen.
Never left.
I got that impression. And I overheard one of them say the name Doobie. And I was like, oh, you know what? That's the screen name of one of the guys on the discussion boards that I'm on. Maybe it's the same guy. It's kind of interesting that, you know, this guy talks about being at the parks, same name. So I mustered up enough courage, which is totally, totally, I mean, this is so out of character for me, and walked over and said, to this table of guys, are you the guys who talk about Disneyland on the internet on the ADD group? And yeah, we are. And I'm like, oh, are you Doobie? And
I believe I said, yeah, baby, let's get married.
No, you didn't. You said, no, I'm not.
I did say, no, I'm not.
And then, thankfully, your friend John said, yes, he is, and I'm Indigo. That was his screen name at the time.
He's still my friend. He's still around at
Now he has a son named Indigo.
Yes, and his name is still John, the DisneyBlog.com.
Yeah, DisneyBlog. So,
part of the Go Network.
So that's how I met Doobie.
I remember that well. And within, what was it? That was November of 96, and
yep.
We were married in December of 97.
Yep. So pretty much.
We met at Disneyland.
Yeah, we met right there at the Coke Corner or Refreshment Corner or Corner Cafe, depending on which one you want to name it.
Rod's Place. We met at Rod's Place.
We met at Rod's Table, and that's actually where Doobie got down on one knee and proposed. He had Rod play Someday My Prince Will Come. And the story revolving around that whole evening and how he set it up and had me totally believing it wasn't going to happen is quite cool, so we'll share that sometime. We'll leave you hanging on that. But that's how I met Doobie.
Yeah, and I grew up in Southern California, so I've always been like everyone else in SoCal, go to Disneyland once or twice a year. When I became an adult, I pretty much stopped going, and then on Memorial Day, 1995, for some reason, me and a friend went to Disneyland, and I don't know why, but something clicked, and within a week, I had an annual pass, and I've probably gone an average of 3 days a week from that day until we left California. It truly is just a switch that went off in my head. Not Rebecca's head, because she wasn't there. Fanboy, I know you actually have Disney in your DNA, and that goes a long way towards your Disney fan.
So Disney, DNA.
Yes, Disney.
I'm sure that's got to be some project at some corporate retreat, the Disney DNA.
The Muppet Secret Labs.
Yeah. Let's see. I like Disney, and I went to college. I still like Disney. I wanted to start a fan club like you guys did, but I didn't because I was near Disneyland, and that was just a lot easier to go there. And 8 fiscal years later, I'm still a fan. And that's about it. I'm trying to remember. I remember my first Disney cartoon was The Simple Things. It was on part of the Disney Channel free preview back when you had to pay for it. I don't know if you girls know that.
You had to pay for the free preview?
No. You had to pay for the Disney Channel.
Okay, gotcha.
I feel so old. People are like, you paid for the Disney Channel? Like, yes, you used to pay. It used to not be geared toward tweens.
Is it true that your dad told you that it wasn't available and that was just something special?
Yes.
Where the free... What was it he would tell you? Where the free preview would come on? He would tell you something. I remember you mentioning it one time with great... You were greatly disturbed by that.
I don't know, but you know what also disturbed me was, what was her name? Like, Susan? Sharon. Yeah. From the Disney Channel. And she would ask you to call, and yeah. I'd want to call, but I didn't know how to use the phone yet. Because the phones they would have, because my parents didn't get a touch tone phone until I was like in fifth grade. And, but, yeah, thankfully my grandfather, explained to me the whole free preview concept. And, we would have tapes, we would tape everything during the free preview, just so I could watch it over and over again. And, my parents are not needy, but sometimes they act very, very needy.
They're frugal.
Yeah, but there's a point. There's frugal, and then there's taping something on TV, so you don't have to pay $8 a month.
Now, don't forget, your mom listens to this podcast.
She does?
Yes, she does.
Well, she would agree with me because
that's the problem.
My parents bought a car and had a CD player.
Oh, I remember this.
Well, my mom got really upset because my dad refused to purchase a CD player for the house, and so she's like, "If we have one in the car." We should have one in the house. It's a good thing you didn't wait for car phones to get a telephone. And that's the only reason we have a CD player in the house that we never use.
Exactly.
Actually, I would play Fantasmic and just like prance around in the.
I believe it.
Now, when I met Rebecca, she and the captain had already known each other for quite a while.
Yep.
So, and then we met Fanboy about 7-8 years ago.
Right around the time DCA opened.
Met him at the Disneyland Resort. You know, you meet lots of people. I think he actually was hanging around with another friend of ours, and through him we kind of got to know Fanboy.
Yep.
And so we've been friends for a long time. We've all talked Disney, obviously, for a long time. And one day the captain comes to me and says he wants to start the podcast up again.
And so I drag him kicking and screaming. And
we said, you know, I think it'll be fun, but I don't want to really do one of the big production podcasts because, you know, I don't have the time or inclination. I just want to do a round table, four Disney fans sitting around talking Disney, and Fanboy was also happened to be there at the time, and if you were actually listening to the first...
Because I was never around when you would discuss. I live on your couch.
By the way, that's how we got to know Fanboy. He moved into our sofa.
Literally inside.
But there weren't any Christmas lights in that one, right?
He was a poor, poor, sad little boy that we took in because we felt bad.
And but now I'm a manly man that eats five dozen eggs.
Yes, you are, and you are the size of a barge.
You hear that? WWE?
Just yep. Western.
Oh, I'm Western. Vikings.
When we restarted the podcast, if you were to listen to that very first one, it actually was just Fanboy Captain and myself. Rebecca decided she did not want to be a part of it.
Never.
But after watching us do that first one, she just realized that she could not miss out on all this fun.
It's like Seinfeld. We had
well, no, actually what happened was I was sitting on the sofa, and you all were being the normal morons that you are, and I kept yelling stuff from the sofa, and you guys were like, why don't you just come over here and take a mic? I'm like, oh, okay, I guess so, because, you know, I live with you guys. So.
Starting with the second, when Rebecca joined the team, and it obviously would not be, boy, three guys like us doing this podcast would not be a good thing.
See, it even took you so much convincing to get you to do that one segment on the old show where you walked through the Osborne lights with the...
That was fun.
That was a fun one.
I wish we could do more of that where we would do, you know, live walkthroughs because that was kind of amazing.
That was the four of us, wasn't it?
It not was. Me. Yeah, you were there too.
Yeah, you had the great line.
You had the great line.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So
you guys declared me the winner.
Holidays,
but
mostly
Christmas. Yeah.
Yes. Rebecca wins.
Rebecca wins.
So anyway, now you know...
I never win. That was awesome.
More than you ever wanted to know about the history of Doobie and Rebecca and the history of the LPP. And by the way, I noticed you guys said you did well on your exams, and I just find that funny because, I don't know, when I hear exams, I'm thinking like Brits or Canadians or something.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, did well on our tests, did well on our finals, our midterms, but exams.
Maybe it's a W thing.
And they're sophisticated is why.
They are sophisticated.
They are sophisticated people.
Which begs the question, why do they care about Fanboy?
Hey, you care about Fanboy. You're his friend.
Yeah, Doobie's not sophisticated.
Touche.
Oh, that's very true. Yeah. That's one of my favorite things when you do something stupid and I tell Fanboy, he's your friend, and Fanboy says, and you married him. Like, okay, yeah, you're right.
When are we going to go?
To WWU?
Yeah. Hopefully before they graduate, because that would be depressing.
Oh, yeah, that would be sad.
We need to figure that out.
We really need to
figure
that out.
We need to take a road trip to Western.
That would be awesome.
Maybe a plane trip. Well.
Oh, please. Mr. Doobie doesn't drive more than 2 hours, remember? If it's more than 2 hours, it's a plane.
I agree. Right.
No, you crazy boys.
We got more voicemail today, believe it or not. Captain, you're in charge.
Hello, all. This is Mrs. Elder P.
Yeah, you know
her. I just listened to the March 28th podcast, and you guys were talking about Disney birds, the ducks, and myths associated with them, and I thought I would share our family myth. Apparently, many moons ago, when my husband, Elder P, was a young boy of 12 or 13 and had a little sister who was like 5, he was able to convince her that the ducks swimming in the rivers of America were actually audio animatronics, and she was quite old before she figured out that they weren't. And so now whenever we see the ducks, we have to say, look, it's the audio animatronic ducks.
Oh, that's brilliant.
So if you ever see two goofy people in Disneyland pointing out the audio animatronic duck swimming in the rivers of America, come by and say hi to the Elder Peas. Anyway, that's my story about the family Disney myth, and I enjoyed the podcast, and look forward to next week. Thanks. Bye.
I think you know you're a true Disney fan when you say audio animatronic and not just animatronic or robotic, when you use the complete registered trademark term. Of audio animatronics.
And I actually have heard people pointing out and trying to convince other relatives that they're audio animatronic ducks, so I might have been seeing you around.
This actually was a revelation to me. I just want to say thank you, Mrs. Elder P, for clearing that up. Now I know.
So when I was in fourth grade, my best friend invited me to go with her to Disneyland, and we were at Country Bears, and she was amazed that they had trained bears to sing.
Wow.
They're not real.
Well, you couldn't have told her that. I tried very hard to tell her that. Didn't win that battle.
Even if they could train bears to sing, that's not going to pass the first key.
And then when we went on the train ride, she was quite disturbed that they had dinosaurs and that we were that close to them. And really.
But the bears didn't bother her.
Couldn't convince her otherwise.
You know what I've learned? You know what this story teaches me? You have a type when it comes to your friends. Stupid.
Hey, she's not stupid.
Do you not consider yourself a friend of Rebecca?
Yeah. I do. And that's why I'm admitting it.
Okay.
Yeah. No, at first I thought...
She married you.
I thought she was just kind of going along with it, you know, at first. But then after a little bit, I realized, no, she's not just going along with it. She really thinks that these are really there. And the worst part was her parents would not... Her parents told her that I was pulling her leg, that they were real. It wasn't helpful.
This goes to a great Disney myth, if I may interject here.
Okay.
This doesn't get you off the hook for later.
Oh, then never mind. I'll save it.
You save it.
Okay, I think I know in Disney where all the animals are and the non-animals.
Yeah.
But
except Kilimanjaro Safari. Well,
okay, those are all not real.
What?
Those are all real.
What about Little Red?
Except for Little Red and the guy in the plane.
Wait.
But the one holding the gun is real.
I don't know how many times I've heard people, when they go over the crocodiles, it's like... Those are fake? No, they're not. Crocodiles just don't move.
Yeah, a lot of people think that those are just animatronics.
Reptiles or lazy creatures.
Which would be ironic because they're just still. So if they're going to be fake, they shouldn't be animatronics.
They should be statues.
They should be statues, yes.
But someone convinced me to the point where I'm not 100% positive that they're not really steering the safari vehicles, that they're somehow on a track.
They are steering the safari vehicles.
And that's someone, by the way, I believe it's your brother.
I remember that for a while.
Was he pulling your leg or did he actually believe that?
There
was some story out there about how they were using a new technology with it, and the way the article was written, it gave you the impression it was kind of like what they do with Pooh Honey Hunt out in Tokyo.
There's a lot of poo on that ride, but it's fertilizer.
But Honey Hunt, where the vehicles kind of go off track, but
like
they're under control.
Yeah, it's
laser guided, that the guides aren't actually driving. I remember that at the time.
That is perhaps the most uncomplicated ride vehicle Disney has ever built.
It's amazing.
It's a big truck that they put seats on.
It's an amazing
vehicle. So I would look out the back, and are we on the exact same tracks as the car before? Thank you. Now I know.
Because also, you know, part of one reason why you could be convinced that way, because you could see that like the tracks on the path you're going on are like permanently there, because it's more like a cement road that looks like mud. So you could think that maybe they're like driving perfectly over the ridges the right way too. But no, they're actually driving.
Well, and then there's the thing of how much of your ride experience is actually the road versus how much of it is the vehicle.
On Keeley, he just said the trucks are simple, so I'm guessing it's all the road.
Yeah, it's all the road.
When you look at that vehicle and how far up it is, not just for safety from animals or whatever, it looks like an Indiana Jones vehicle. So I had always thought that when you're driving along that bridge, if you were to watch it, that the lower part of the vehicle would actually be just going across the bridge, and the upper part's moving like crazy, but actually the tires are all on the bottom and it's smooth as silk.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. I mean, it's
so
not.
So, like, they could turn it on and off. Yeah. And so it's like, and I'm still not convinced that Fanboy's right on that one, by the way.
I do, though, that's why there's no snakes on that safari.
Oh, very funny.
My favorite part's when the big ball of dung starts rolling in.
We're pollinators. And as much as I like those last three voicemails, I must admit, my favorite voicemail of the week is the one coming up next.
Mine's still the girls.
Shocking.
I know.
And despite what they said, you're scaring them.
Hey, LPP.
Yeah, you know
Don't really know me. But my name is Ryan. Hey. I am a listener from Southern California. My fellow coworker, Joey, and I, we work in the IT department at a school district down here, and we listen to your podcast as we go around fixing all the computers at the different schools. And we love the podcast. You guys are awesome. But I have a question for you guys. You might have already answered this before in a past podcast, but I don't know. But my IT department and I, we all have Disney passes, and we go all the time. And we have a little competition with the Astro Blasters, and I always, always, always lose. They always beat me really, really bad. In fact, yesterday, my coworker Joey beat me. He had 1.2 million points, and I only had 80,000. So can you guys help me out and tell me the secret to the different shooting at the Astro Blasters, what the different points are? Thank you. I'd appreciate it. Have a good day.
So this is Astro Blasters and not Space Ranger Spin.
This is California, whichever one that is.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I don't think we can help you.
I can.
Ooh.
Ooh,
I did some research.
Uh-oh.
And I found there are a couple of blogs dedicated where they had a posting dedicated to how you can score better. And one of them says that regular, when you look at the regular targets where multiple hits are allowed, triangles get you 10,000. Diamonds, only 5,000. Squares, 1,000. Circles, 100. So to me, it says, hit the triangle, man. Forget that other stuff. And then lighted targets, same thing. Triangles, 100,000. And then smaller again.
One of those, and he breaks his record there.
Yeah, and then apparently there's a hidden target. So I will, I don't know, should I say what it is? Because it's like a secret target.
Spoiler
it's not even,
alert, Austria.
It's not even like, there's no Z around it, apparently. Was I mean, I don't know if it's true.
Was this blog written by Joey, by the way?
Oh, I don't think
that's
so.
That's his friend who got 1.2 million.
Oh, no, it's written by Ken, somebody named Ken.
We know a Ken.
Yeah, but it's not that Ken.
Okay, go ahead. Spoiler.
So apparently he overheard some, according to the blog, let me see if I can give it, the blog, it's called the Some Life blog. And I haven't looked at any of the other posts, so I can't give you any information about the other posts. I can only tell you about this one. But apparently, he said he overheard that the secret target is on Zerg's chest, and he has a diagram of where you need to shoot. And it's a little black circle in the middle, and there's he has an arrow pointing at it in the picture, and he says you get 100,000 points if you can hit it. And you can hit it many times in a row. So that's how his buddy could get the
1.2 million.
Yeah, you just boom, boom,
that's
boom, boom,
shots.
Boom.
You're
done.
Nothing.
You're done. So, yeah.
Bring a mirror and refract the laser.
So, Ryan, don't cheat that much. But
I do know some tricks for the one in Florida.
Yeah?
The top of the volcano.
Top of the volcano. That's one of my
yeah,
favorites.
Yeah, that's
the
a good one.
The bottom of the Zerg machine.
Mm-hmm.
And the the robot's left hand in robot room.
Oh. I'll have to try that.
And 100,000.
And also keep in mind that in the projected sequence where you're seeing the ships, you could actually shoot at the ships. Some people just kind of sit there and think it's like the pause break, but after you go through the spinning tunnel and you see the ships flying around you, you could actually shoot at the ships.
You know what's funny, though, is you can also shoot at the Illuminations globe. You think it's just a boring pause break, but it actually gets points.
Oh, and the lighted targets, don't forget, with the lighted targets, the first person to hit it gets the bonus points, and after that it goes back to the regular scoring, so you don't want to waste your time.
First person as another day?
No. Like
as it lights up.
When you light it, yeah. So.
And another good one for Florida is that you could see this when you're on the TTA. You could go by in Buzz Lightyear and you see like there's a spinny thing near the roof of the building.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's a bunch of targets on the spinning ones. Well, when you enter that room, where this is the volcano room, if you shoot up at the spinning ones, like you'll get a lot of points. So pretty much the goal is if it moves, you're going to get more points.
Although the bottom of Zerg's ship and the top of the volcano are the easiest high points.
Yeah.
You know, I think the other way that he can do well is if he is on at a time when somebody's online. Because doesn't that, like, up your score?
They still do that. I figured
I wondered about that. Remember that? That was like, because if I play it at home, like, I cause more targets to light up than might otherwise be lit up. So he needs to, like, have an online buddy.
You know,
they still do that. You should check Disneyland.com and check
In reality,
it out.
Stop worrying because you'll
no,
just
it's
have
important.
To. No, because you'll just have to beat his butt at Midway Mania.
Oh, true enough.
You know what's funny is his buddy listens to the podcast.
That's what I was thinking.
So, A, Ryan,
you know
listen
edit.
First and don't let him. Yeah, make an edit of it.
Yeah.
And two, you'll do a lot better when you come out to Florida because, as you heard, we had a lot more Florida tips than California tips.
Because the ones in California, you know what, you just look for the shape. Whereas this one, the one in Florida, California, whatever park, the one that the
Space Rangers spin here and Astro Blasters.
The old one, they just have the same circle logo, so you don't know how many points it is until you hit it.
And we get fixed guns. You guys out in California get movable ones.
Yeah, they can pick them up and hold them in their hands,
Yeah.
In Hong Kong, you want to hit the ones that are. Continue.
I'm looking forward to Midway Mania after watching that little old lady today in the wheelchair playing darts with the Nintendo Wii. It was very cute. It was at Innoventions and this little lady, and she was so frail that instead of moving her arm with the dart, she literally would kind of just lean over her whole body and then use that to move the dart back and forth as opposed to moving her hand.
She actually gets more control that way.
It was so cute. It was terribly cute. And I was envisioning, you know, similar thing with the Midway Mania because everything I gather is the control there is kind of similar to the Wii remote in that you move that thing and it tosses the dart in the same way that she was playing darts.
I am so excited about Midway.
Really? So excited you can't even
say it. I can't even say it. It's got me off a lubricant.
Toy Story Midway Mania.
Yeah.
Inspired by Disney's presentation of a Pixar Animation Studios film, Toy Story. And Toy Story 2.
And Toy Story 3.
In 3D.
the longest title ever in the history of the world.
No, oh, no. I'm sure there's no.
The Walt Disney Story featuring great moments with Mr. Lincoln, The Road to Gettysburg.
Good thing he didn't have a sponsor.
Presented by Sylvania, a Siemens company.
Wasn't Turtle Talk really long for a while there?
Turtle Talk with Crush. No, Disney Pixar's Turtle Talk with Crush, inspired by Disney's presentation of a Pixar Animation Studios film, Finding Nemo.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites for a while.
Trademark boy, your old nickname. Captain.
I know, that's what we should have just called him. Yo, trademark. Hey, TM, how's it going?
Bubba-dum.
Ba-dum.
All right. This captain's challenge was a very important one.
Why, Captain?
Why, Captain? It's because we're actually giving away a prize this time.
Yippee!
So, we were
a whole can,
a whole can of whipped cream. No, that we have a better prize for the winner of this week's captain challenge, which appears to be, drumroll please, Pirate Princess.
And the crowd goes wild.
The crowd goes wild.
Punch. Punch.
Big mistake. All over the place.
Let me warn everybody listening to this podcast, never, ever go to a sporting event and sit near Fanboy and Doobie if that song will be playing.
Oh, come on. There's got to be far worse people in the stands.
Embarrass you to no end. No, nothing is more embarrassing than the two of you.
Whoa.
The two of you with your
rock
you
nonsense.
Because you don't know any of the words. You just sing it.
We know every word.
No.
La 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 la. Mistake.
All over the place.
We will.
Yeah, exactly. This is what I'm saying.
We are the champions.
And they sing those particular, the lyrics that they just shared with you, those are the ones that they sing. Full blast.
We have no shame.
La 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 la. Yeah.
If you really want.
And they're sober.
During playoffs, we do Bohemian Rhapsody.
And they're sober. This is them sober.
237. Mondesi. Remember the time there was a horse at the ballpark for no apparent reason?
Here, let me share this backstory with you guys. In 2002,
go Angels.
The Angels were owned by Disney, and Fanboy suggested we all go to the game to support Disney's latest franchise. And we were there, and we were like, hey, this is fun.
That's the same reason we went to the Pirate and Princess party, by the way.
It's not that crowded.
More people at the...
We can go to these. This is a nice little break from what we normally do. Let's get a 20-game pack. And next thing we knew, we were at the World Series.
Yep.
That was unbelievable. And all of a sudden, there were more people. First few games we'd go to, it'd be Fanboy, Doobie, myself, and maybe 15, 20,000 other people.
No, 13,000.
Oh, 13,000 people. Then slowly it became 27, 30, 35, 50.
What about?
It was unbelievable.
And now you know the rest of the backstory.
Good day.
Okay. Here you go.
Anyway,
Captain.
We give away something?
Page two.
Oh, I'm just going to say, as a reminder, the question was, you know, I want to know if anybody could recite, you know, the spell or ingredients involved in the creation of a poison apple in Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. And I'm going to have Doobie give the dramatic reading of the correct
answer. No. This is a Fanboy, dude.
Okay, Fanboy. Pirate Princess X.
I'm with you now. Dip the apple into the brew. Let the seeping death seep through. Look on the skin, the symbol of what lies within. Now turn red to tempt Snow White to make her hunger for a bite. When she breaks the tender peel to taste the apple in my hand, her breath will steal, her blood congeal, then I'll be fairest in the land. Now, see, some people might think I was impersonating the old hag. I was actually impersonating Walt doing the old hag, which takes a whole new level of acting.
Wow, the nuance was lost on me, I'll admit.
Next week, I'm doing Frank Thomas doing Baloo.
I'm doing Phil Harris doing anything.
All right, so what this means is that ex-pirate Princess X is now the proud owner of a enchanted DVD. Enchanted?
Hang on. An enchanted Disney DVD.
Oh, so we hope she has a Disney DVD player.
Widescreen edition.
Does it have fast play?
Oh, I can't imagine it doesn't. Don't those all have fast play?
An awesome game.
You know that's patent pending.
Oh, wow.
Disney came up with the idea of you putting it in and it plays.
Amazing.
So you know, stay on the line so we can get your information.
Yes, exactly. Our intern will get your...
And I think my vote to autograph it has been shot down, I think, from last time.
Oh, very good. Very good. That's insane.
Now, let us know, Pat. If you want an autograph, we can get Fanboy to do it. Do you know how to sign Fanboy?
He puts a big X.
I actually took the class.
Puts a big F.
So if someone loses their autograph book in the park, they can get it with Mickey, Minnie, and my autograph in it.
And Fanboy.
And Fanboy, yes. That's funny.
What do you got this week?
And then they make every attempt to lose it again.
Well, I was thinking, you know, there hasn't been very much pirate news or pirate exposure lately. And because I'm Captain John, I have to bring...
Because it's still playing, pirate, isn't it?
Bring some pirate back into this thing, don't you think?
Yes, sure. Yes, of course.
And so, I'm thinking, I want you to tell me, when you first enter Pirates of the Caribbean in California, all right, you go up the ramp, okay? You first enter the building.
Okay, I'm
okay. Exactly. You look to the right. Whose painting do you see? Okay, who's
to the right?
To the right.
You see the bird.
There's a picture over there, too?
Yeah, there's a picture on the right.
Is that the person that won the contest?
No, it is not. The person who won the contest is further down the row. But I'm just saying, when you first enter, there is a portrait on the right of a well-known pirate.
Okay, that's a good one. Okay. No one's going to find that one on the internet. You got to have some knowledge or a car.
You know, knowledge is power.
Schoolhouse
Rocky, the chip off the block of your
favorite
schoolhouse rock.
Lolly, 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 get your adverbs here. Lolly, lolly, lolly.
I'm just trying to envision where this painting is.
Read the magic number.
I'm slow. So I'm walking in, and I'm in the queue, and I'm looking at the parrot.
Yeah, you see the parrot straight in front of you.
And
if you look to the right.
And if I look to the right, instead of going to the left, which is my natural inclination.
Yes,
where
the line goes.
Okay.
If you look to the right, you should see, you know, a peach-colored wall with a portrait on it.
I'm just making sure. Just making sure I'm up to speed here.
You should have plenty of time to watch it, though, while you're in the, 15 boat backup trying to get to unload.
Yeah, true.
Oh, that's true, too. I hadn't thought about that.
That's a stupid ride. Why don't they unload you before you go up?
Yeah, they do here.
I know. It works.
I like that.
You get to go up a waterfall.
I like
you see all the people with their hands up. We're going to go down. I guess not.
I like that part.
Yeah, me too, because it means it's almost time to get off.
See, at Disneyland Paris, I believe you start climbing up, if I recall this correctly. You climb up into the fort, and you do a drop into the fort. It's like the first... Like, it's completely different over in Paris from what I remember.
This makes me think of something which I find funny.
Uh-huh.
Which is?
Many people...
Everybody loves Raymond.
Many people...
King of Queens.
Queens. Yes, dear.
Yes, dear. Many people think of Pirates as the best Disney attraction of all time.
Right.
They have built two more versions now, maybe three. I don't know if... do all parks have them?
No. Just...
Paris and Disney World?
And Hong Kong. Yeah. I mean, not Hong Kong.
Tokyo.
Yeah, it hasn't come to Hong Kong yet.
And in every version, they make some pretty significant changes to what many people consider a perfect ride.
Right.
Maybe the small world thing's not such a big deal after all. That's all I'm saying.
It's a big, small deal after all.
That's all I'm saying.
It's a small deal after all.
I've changed my mind. I've got high hopes.
We'll see.
C'est petit deal après tout.
I'll just say this, though, that even, I mean, it took some complaining to even get Pirates of the Caribbean to be built in Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, I'll never forgive those Florida people for that.
The pirates are coming, the pirates are coming.
Now, we could have had Western River Expedition, Mark Davis's culmination. Did you read General Media?
Did he finish that series?
Not a chance. Okay. No, I'm pretty sure he did finish that one.
Okay. You're so mean. Poor Jim. I only feel comfortable saying that stuff because when we talk to him in person, we rib him the same way.
Thing. He puts it on his own side.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the same.
Poor guy.
So that's the question. And this week we are giving our winner the same prize as 2 weeks ago. Absolutely.
Fame and fortune on the discussion board.
I don't know. We have some of those pirate watches lying around.
Oh, dude.
Oh, we do. We have a
show this outlet.
You know what? We've got another prize.
We've got another prize.
We've got a prize. We are giving
Pirates
away
Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End watch, wristwatch.
Yes. Where did you get those watches from?
$3 at the outlet store.
Oh.
They used to be, what, $10 with a purchase of $50 or whatever? They have so many left over.
I was going to say you should just go to Pirate Princess Party and get a bunch of beads. And, here you go. Here you go.
So we've got another prize for a tough one. Tough question, we can give a prize. But we've got a watch for the winner.
And next week you'll have a watch for the winner. And the week after that, a watch for the winner.
And now back, by popular demand, as in one person liked it and nobody didn't, is this week's edition of Dubeka's Adventures in a Park.
That's inclusive of Dubie and Rebecca.
Yes. And this week's park is the Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow.
Every person comes out tired.
That's the one. Every paycheck comes on a day that starts with D.
Even programmers can't operate test track.
We shall get there today.
Every pocketbook comes out trashed.
Stay tuned.
Do you know Test Track goes down every year on March 17th for its birthday?
Stay tuned.
All right.
Why don't you start us off, Rebecca?
So as we're traveling to Epcot, hey, there's wild turkeys along the roadside leading up to the entrance.
Why do people always park alongside the entrance to Epcot?
By the way, why do they? I mean, I know we're supposed to be doing this, but seriously, there is no other
thing. I want to know. We'll come back, but okay. I want to know.
Okay.
Can you show?
Walking through Future World, a young lady is turning round and round, twisting her map this way and that way. I guess she needed to step into the map.
And people, don't feed the birds, especially McDonald's fries, both for our sake and theirs.
I can't believe I bought a pin. And, I mean, at least it's a Stitch flowering garden pin.
The oversized teacups in the UK pavilion highlighting the herbs found in their various brews is interesting.
I am so hungry, but I'm not really in the mood for a crepe. Perhaps I'll have a couscous salad. Well, we're getting close to Japan. Maybe I'll have some udon noodles.
Udon noodles. So we went in the new Japanese restaurant. Those are beautiful.
Really stunning, especially the large screen in the new one.
They have a large screen TV.
Oh, it's beautiful. I really like the way that they incorporate Walt's quotes on America in the Fife and Drum Corps there in front of American Pavilion.
And my favorite part of that was the authentic revolutionary tune they played, Proud to Be an American.
I had no idea it was that old. I'm still hungry, but I can't bring myself to try again at Italia, Tutta Italia, so maybe I'll stop and get a pretzel in Germany.
I noticed this year for Flower and Garden, they didn't decorate the trains in Germany, so I guess the little people don't get to celebrate.
Aww. Well, you know, there's that large garden train exhibit over in Garden Town, so I guess they decided not to decorate the Germany trains.
So in Norway, there's a troll over there, there's a troll up there, there's a troll over there, and that guest just said, there's a good ride in there.
She was pointing at Maelstrom?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Wow.
Well, now we're just about out of World Showcase, and I can't believe I didn't stop and eat. So I'm still hungry. So, well, let's go try the grab and go at Garden Town, since we want to watch the video over there anyway.
And on our way, we hear a tech over the loudspeaker at Test Track. Test Track technicians, report to your 102 positions.
And I saw a very excited guest run back to the line. They're about to open it. They're about to open it. Over at Garden Town, my festival green salad with edible flowers and rose water vinaigrette was really tasty. You want to try some, Doobie?
Sure, but let's finish up so we can go watch the making of the Flower and Garden Festival video.
And 30 minutes later or so,
at least,
we emerge knowing more than we ever thought possible about the Flower and Garden Festival. I'm really surprised something similar to that hasn't appeared on Home and Garden TV or Travel Channel, because it was really interesting, just really thorough.
I just don't think they have enough time allocated for it. Did you hear that couple on the way out? I'm pretty sure he said Mission Space was there before, we just didn't want to wait in line for it. And then he said, remember, that's the one where the lady said it beat the crap out of her.
I'm just glad, honestly, they weren't talking about the fatality, which is what you usually hear. But I guess it's my only time that I try the new Spaceship Earth.
And so we did.
Yep. Yep. The sign said it was a 20-minute queue.
It said 30-minute, actually.
Oh, did it say 30?
Yeah. Took five?
Six and a half.
That's like you move. It's like a tsunami mover.
It is. But they have a large screen TV in the Japan restaurant?
It's a really beautiful high definition that shows images of Japan.
Oh, okay. I'm like...
It's really stunning.
I'm about to get like ESPN
or... It really adds to the ambiance of the location. It's just gorgeous.
Did you eat there? You didn't eat there?
We just stopped in to take a peek.
Why don't you just go eat at the Outpost?
By the way, I didn't put it on here, but the Outpost sure gets the shaft during Flower and Garden. There's not a rose in the spot. There's nothing.
It gets the DVC Lion King exhibit.
Yeah, okay.
It does, actually. It's probably the most expensive exhibit at Flower and Garden.
It's really beautiful.
You know what? The making of, not me, the...
Making of Flower and Garden?
Yeah. I didn't realize it took that much energy.
That is, when I see a video like that and all that goes into this event, it just makes me, it boggles my mind as to how they could do something like build Disney World or even build a hotel. When you look at all the logistics that go into a 2.5 month festival in an existing theme park,
there's one
project
guy,
managers are underpaid around the world.
There's one guy, and he is specifically assigned to this Project 365. That's what he was saying on the.
There's a handful of people whose job, who this in different areas where this is their job.
As soon as this one is over in June, they'll start planning the theme and whatnot for next year's festival.
The thing that got me was is that when they install like the marquee topiary, mm-hmm. and they have to like plan out where everyone's gonna park so that they can all get in and do what they got to do.
Because the cranes are huge.
But can you imagine the first year when they didn't realize that?
Oh yeah. Oh well, and then also I was telling Juby, if you look back at the old topiaries from just even like 5 years ago, as compared to now, and how they've advanced, and just the old Minnie Mouse topiary now sits in front of Minnie's Butterfly Garden. And to compare that topiary with how Minnie appears now, with the amount of, I mean, these horticulturists have gone to the point where they're now like they're character artists. They're sculpting these plants. It's just really
the
amazing.
Building.
The guy showing, this is good for beards, and this plant is really good for eyebrows, and this plant's really good for... And then because I have no green thumb, but, oh, yeah, you have to have an irrigation system, duh.
That was funny.
And these are real things. Sometimes things don't bloom, or things don't grow right, or we have a freeze, or it rains a lot. I mean...
Yeah, she shared one story where a crop just didn't come in. They had it all ready to go, and it just didn't come in.
Like, they have to have... Because the festival runs so long now, they have to have two different crops, so that one for the beginning when it's kind of cooler, and then one for the summer months.
Amazing.
Wow. And honestly,
really cool.
I mean, I love the Flower and Garden Festival. It's expensive and elaborate as what goes into it. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised that it brings in so much to where it's worth it. I mean, because it just looks like such a big undertaking. I'm glad, don't get me wrong, but wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
DVC.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I will say this. If you go around the event, you will see there's a lot of corporate sponsors for this event. I mean, it's not – they've been very – they seem to be very savvy in the way that they've – the way that this event has developed. Because it doesn't come across – maybe just to me because I love Flower and Garden Festival and I know it takes money to operate something like this. But it's not offensive to me in the way it's presented. You have Rain Bird's Water Exhibit. You have DuPont's turf exhibit.
There was one that was a little awkwardly placed. The Minnie's Butterfly Garden, presented by Allegra. Allergy relief.
I was confusing Allegra with, a different drug.
Viva! Sorry. Viva! Sorry.
They used to... Never mind.
So, Allegra.
At the making of...
That is rather ironic. Well, Allegra and the butterfly.
Yeah,
garden.
Yeah. Did I talk about the presentation I went to at Flower and Garden? How nobody was there last week.
It was full when we were walked by.
Yeah, because it was and it was spring. Well, you went during apparently the busy week of spring break that takes place weeks away from Easter, as the parks are overflowing with people. But it felt very awkward because this guy's talking about so here's how you make your what was his word he used. Who cares? Terrarium. And I'm so how many of you have made terrariums at home? And we're just going, creaky. What's a terrarium? Where do you live? Oh, I live in Florida. Oh, so you're probably planting. Yes.
No, actually today's presentation was filled with overflow. They actually had seats set up all around.
The one at the anatomical theater?
Oh no, that one we didn't. I didn't see how many people were there when we were walking by.
I saw a couple people there. I was hoping a show wasn't going on because there were just like two people sitting there.
But that's always been very lightly attended. It's kind of a come and go kind of thing.
I'm so glad they put it in this place. It may take a couple years for people to get the sense that there's now a destination for Flower and Garden.
No, here's the difference. My memory, and let me, you know what? The festival guide's right here, so I'm just going to pull it out. My memory is that they don't really list show times per se for those. So where one is more, you just kind of stumble upon it, whereas the other one is... Oh, never mind, it's right here.
Okay.
Because they have Ask the Experts from 9 to 5. So that's kind of just, you know, stumble upon it. and then the Disney Gardening at Home, which is what we saw. And that's where you actually, they had like a little planter and plants, and you actually created a little garden that you could take home. Mm-hmm. And that's what they all are. You end up planting something with the help of a Disney gardener, and then you can take it with you if you want. That's at 11 and 2. And then they had planting pointers, and that's at 1 and 4. And I think that the planting pointers may be the one that's done by the – that's the one that you guys are talking
and
about.
And there's a plant.
That was done.
And there's a plant.
That's done by the gardening experts from the University of Florida.
Your
favorite
ride.
That's their participation in it.
Before we move on to Rebecca's impression of Spaceship Earth as she finally got to ride it, why are there cars parked in the entrance to Epcot?
Why?
We go in all four parks pretty regularly. Only one park has invariably a line of cars, three
pulled
or four
over
cars,
on the grass to the left of the entrance. Do you guys have any idea? Anybody here? Hey, if you've done that, if you're a guest who's been there and has, as you're driving up to the entrance of Epcot and pulled over to the left side and parked there for some, please tell us why you're there. And it's not like we see people getting out, because we see it also on the way into the park. I mean, on the way into Walt Disney World property, where people are getting out of their car on
but
the side of the
pictures.
Road.
Yeah,
and take pictures. But these people just appear to be off on the side of the road, just there.
Maybe they just realized they were about to go into, they thought they were going to an exciting theme park.
You know,
the one thing,
I love Epcot, but
you're so harsh on. So this is one of the great mysteries for me as a Walt Disney World visitor. I just don't understand why it happened. So if you can help, we would greatly appreciate you enlightening us.
Good thing we came with the mystery machine today.
Yeah.
Yes, unconfuzzle us.
I'm got the munchies.
So I finally went on Spaceship Earth.
And?
It's very different.
All right, next topic.
I guess now that I've been on it, it is no longer a sophisticated attraction to me. It's now geared towards a 6 or 7 year old child, which isn't a bad thing necessarily. I'm not saying that. But
Judy Dench is big in that demo.
I want to find the script online or listen to it and compare it to the old script, because there are quite a few comments in the current script that kind of made me think that it was kind of random and weird. I'll tell you one. One specifically was how we can now plan our own future. And I'm thinking, mm-hmm. And I was sitting there, I was like, that's kind of an odd thing to say. Haven't we pretty much done that before? And it was showing, you with a computer, because you can answer these questions and then see what your future is going to be on this computer. And I was like, okay, so I guess they're trying to point out that, computers, I can see what the future is. But I'm like, Jules Verne did that with pen and paper with his writing. So I kind of, it clicked weird with me, and I don't know why. But overall, I thought the animatronics were amazing. The mathematician teaching and the Phoenician merchant, just the articulation of the arms and the head and neck, it was just really incredible. I was really impressed with that. The goofy animation at the end didn't appeal to me, but the little boy in the seat in front of us
was... goofy animation?
It's silly.
Oh, the silly animation.
Yeah,
I thought
sorry.
They had like a
no.
goofy cartoon they added. That'd be cool.
No.
How to set up your own Omnimover?
No. The crazy animation at the end didn't really appeal to me per se.
Although the guy was really good looking.
Okay, Dibby. I'm just glad it worked, because the first time you went on it, it didn't work, and we heard reports from other people of color that it didn't work for them either, and so we were beginning to wonder that there was an issue with the system. But it
What's
worked
that have
for
to
you.
Do, with me?
Do you remember
and
when Bruce Banner went on
stopped.
It and it didn't work?
And he got very angry.
Yeah. I don't like him when he's angry.
So yeah, so the little boy in front of us really enjoyed it, and so that was cool for me. And then people just love the fact that they get to see themselves. And I, for one, do not understand it. When I got off the ride and there was my face in the big screen up ahead and whatever, I was like, eh. But the people around, all
that
excited.
Was, so. That was the first time I'd ridden it that part had been going. That was actually
people
that was pretty
really
cool.
Really like that.
And they show, they show where you are geographically in the globe, and then they also show certain scenes on the side. That's
yeah,
neat.
And they show where you're from.
Yeah,
you put that in there.
Yeah, they ask you at the beginning, where are you
new?
From?
It used to, I'm pretty sure it used to be at the end, but it's not. It's definitely not new.
Uh-huh.
And so we clicked on Florida. So then when our faces pop up on the screen, then they fly into the state of Florida. So that way they know we're from Florida.
Where are they flying from?
They were over the Pacific Ocean.
Oh.
And then they flew in.
Actually,
cool.
Somewhere between Australia and L.A.
Yeah.
Oh.
We're very glad we made it. We were kind of worried we'd end up in the Sunda Trench.
Yeah.
But no, we didn't.
Ah, if you get that.
Yeah. Sorry,
watch
Austria.
Watch us TV.
Yeah, Austria, sorry.
So yeah, overall, I have to admit, I miss the grandeur and inspiration.
The grandness, the miraculousness. the spaceship.
I missed that. This doesn't have that. This doesn't have that. Oh, and by the way, Judi Dench sounds a lot to me like the mother in Mary Poppins. Sounds like Glynis Johns. So I kept waiting for her to call out for Katie Nana.
My favorite part is when they cast off the shackles of yesterday exactly. And get the vote.
Shoulder to shoulder. Yeah.
Our daughters will adore us. And they'll sing in grateful chorus. Well done.
See, Judi Dench, when I heard it, I kept thinking of Notes on a Scandal, and that's a whole different.
Oh, yeah, that's even.
James Bond M, like she's gonna, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Or, else did she do?
I just kept thinking, dang.
That's what I thought when I read the press release about Julie Andrews. I'm like, damn, Julie Andrews is gone.
That's a whole different pavilion.
Oh, dude, you guys go to the land pavilion way too much. I was going to ask you a question. You said there was something new there from the last time you were there. Said something
okay,
was new.
So I complained that in the end with the screen, all you had were these blue dots.
Right.
They've added some blue triangles.
I like.
No, I hear the blue triangles are worth more than the blue dots.
I liked the blue dots, by the way.
No, and they added a man, Triangle Man.
Triangle Man. He doesn't like Particle Man.
It was like, this was my first time seeing the completely done attraction.
Yes.
I'm still not happy, and the ending for me, you said the ending for you, Rebecca, you found yourself focused on the screen, you didn't notice there wasn't really much to see, and you liked the Star Room. I know Fanboy said when he wrote it, he totally was focused on the screen and none of the rest mattered. Yeah, no, it's still
laughing. Well,
yeah,
okay, now let me just say, now that I've done it, I don't think I'm going to be like, ooh, let me see what the next... I mean, it wasn't so engaging that I'm really excited to go back and see what my future can be if I choose different stuff. I mean, which is what I was kind of hoping for since that's the only thing that it is, but... You know,
it just begs the question, though. It's like, why did they need to tear up all those lights for some reason? Why couldn't they just keep the lights in there?
Those were cool.
Isn't that kind of weird? It's like, why not just keep the lights in? Like, why did they have to have nothing? So, I mean, it's not like you're not going to look at the screen.
Well,
you know?
Siemens is a light company. Maybe they wanted smaller lights.
Tomorrow's time.
I think it's time for Fanboys Disney Myths.
Wait, before Fanboy does his Disney myth.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. Go
Hold.
Ahead. Go ahead, Fanboy. Go
Clear.
Ahead. Go ahead.
Thank you.
You know, before you get into this week's myth, I think we should actually say what this segment of the show is for those who, you know, maybe missed the episode 6 or 7 weeks ago.
It's where I talk about a Disney myth, hence why it's called Fanboy's Disney Myth.
All right, what do you got this week?
It's not as complex as some, like, Cheers or Jeers or anything.
Because that's very complicated. Cheers, cheers.
Oh, but sometimes they have a cheer within a jeer.
Yeah, that really.
So sometimes
I miss TV Guide.
Sometimes you
should boycott on-screen programming.
Sometimes you offer a myth within your debunker, so it's the same thing.
Touche, Rebecca. Touche.
By the way, we have no corrections this week. I think that's 2-3 weeks in a row. So congratulations.
I want to talk about a lawsuit that Disney was facing at the Seas Pavilion, the Living Seas presented by United Technologies.
Calvin.
No, but if you see me in person, ask me about Calvin. And I'm not talking about 273 degrees. A guest sued Disney because the hydrolators at the Living Seas were not pressurized properly, and she had inner ear damage. So Disney was, let's say, not convinced that the hydrolators might have been the cause of her audio problems.
Are you going to say anything that the people in Austria might want to close their ears for?
No, because it's long gone. Okay. Be like spoiling, you know, who shot JR.
Okay, fair enough.
And we all know it was Maggie. The hydrolators do not move. They kind of jiggle a little bit. So they would bring the lawyers in, opened one set of doors, opened the other set of doors, and said... Voila! Needless to say, the lawyers decided to drop this case and moved on with their lives. But, flash forward, building gets converted into the Seas of Nemo and Friends. They remove the hydrolators as part of the experience, and guests go, you know, they go to what used to be the Seabase Alpha, now Seabase, and they go, how do you get to the bottom level that you used to be able to? Not really paying attention that the level they're on now kind of looks a lot like the bottom level. And that thing's, those hydrolators full of people for all those years.
Now, is there a Disney answer to that question? Like, is there a, when casts are on stage, are they, I know they get little,
well, if
know,
I was a cast member, I would, you know what I would say? You're stupid.
That's not, that's a bad show.
I think I asked a cast member this and they go, oh, those levels of the sea base are now closed off.
Seriously? Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. I love it when you get a cast member who, no matter how hard you try, they remain on stage. You cannot get them to break show.
You know who's especially good at that is, obviously, the character hosts.
Oh, they're amazing.
They just won't break show as far as talking to them about the character. Oh, he must be hot in there. Are you hot in your skin?
Those are awesome.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Those are so much fun.
Hear that, Western? Okay.
You know, so, you know,
I'm glad you're all laughing.
We're looking at you.
Wow. Wow. I completely lost what I was saying. I know what I'm saying.
Somebody spends too much time in Fantasyland, let me just say.
What am I saying? I'm saying that Haunted Mansion. Okay, so in California's Haunted Mansion, is it supposed to be an elevator, or is it like...
No, it's a room that's actually stretching. It's a room,
but are you supposed to be stretching down, too?
You're supposed to be stretching always. It's stretching.
No, I mean, but is it supposed to just be stretching up, or
no,
is it supposed to be stretching down like it is? So are you going to the bottom floor? Like, so
no,
in Magic Kingdoms, like, they don't have an elevator?
You need to spend more time in haunted houses, because it doesn't, those things don't make sense. You're just stretching, and then you get out. No, you're not supposed to apply logic to haunted houses.
But you're not supposed to be reaching a different level of the house.
No, because it all fits in that little house.
Okay. I'm just
there's no reason you'd have to go underground to cross train tracks. It's all in that little house.
Yeah.
I used to really try to figure that out when I was a kid.
Oh, man. I remember drawing sketch after sketch after sketch in my...
It won't work. And you know what I found out?
And then how do you go outside?
You
don't seem to go outside. I'm so confused.
The day I found out that it doesn't all take place in that little house, it doesn't all take place in that little building in Pirates, it doesn't all take place in that 6-inch facade, was the day I picked up Mouse Tales for the first time in 1995. And speaking of Mouse Tales,
I think it was when I was hanging out with you and John, and you guys were like, how far underground are we now?
Oh, how far underground do you think we are? John loves that one.
How far are we underground now? How far are we underground now? never mind. I'm giddy.
I know what you mean. Shut up. Bella, Bella, Bella.
remember Circus Land?
But the Mouse Tales, fanboy story about the lawsuit reminded me of a lawsuit I read about in Mouse Tales where these people accused one of the Three Little Pigs of groping his wife. And so they took the costume into the courtroom showing that the pigs do not have arms that are controllable.
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, it's like the commercial that they had for one of the first global commercials they had for Disney parks. And this kid runs up to King Louie with her autograph book. And but then they cut away because King Louie goes and moves both hands up and down, and realize that because he doesn't have hands. That,
I'm the king of the sweeters, but I can't write.
Oh, that's funny.
What's our email address? podcast@laughingplace.com.
Yeah,
no,
that sounds right.
No, it's not.
866-718-9408. Toll free. Podcast section of thelaughingplace.com discussion board. But this week, unlike every other week, we're not going to end the show right now. We're first going to let the people here at the podcast hexagonal table get a final word. And we're going to start with Shaggy himself, Captain John.
Zoinks!
All right. Let's see. Usually at this point in time, because my life is just so incredibly boring that I have nothing to say to you. But I do bring up, you know, interesting holidays I look up. And so today is April 3rd. Well, speaking of April. April 1st, I didn't get any single pranks or anything. Like, no funny emails, no nothing from anybody.
The best one I saw was posted on laughingplace.com discussion boards by a good friend, SFH, who said that the sale of the Disney store has completed and Paul Pressler is coming back to run them.
That was awesome.
So, here's our April Fool joke. We're not coming back next week.
April Fool!
And, you know, if one of us gets injured, we're all going to feel really bad now.
No, we won't.
Not if it's you.
Oh, hey.
Oh, I crossed the line. I crossed the line. I'm sorry.
Boo.
All right, so anyway, today is Tweed Day. And tomorrow, Mickey Mouse needs to watch out because it's World Rat Day.
So, in the year of the rat.
In the year of the rat, no less.
Year of the mouse.
That's cool.
The year of the rat. So the World Rat Day is April 4th.
What's the typical celebration for World Rat Day?
That is a good question.
You go eat at Koofy's Kitchen?
You are so hung up on that, aren't you? I've had dozens of meals at Koofy's Kitchen and never once seen a rodent.
Really?
Except for the one, okay. The character meal, but...
I was going to say, wow, you should get your money back.
It seems that a rat day is focused about, you know, that the rat can actually make a wonderful pet.
Okay.
So, you know, you do rat things, I guess. Go out to the pet store and get yourself a rat, or learn about how rats are wonderful family pets, and
this year
how they can cook for you and things.
This year I've chosen to celebrate with a nice plate of cheese.
A ratatouille. A nice bowl of ratatouille.
Well, on Monday, over at the Time Warner Center, at the shops at Columbus Circle. Well, it begins on April 7th, but it goes through the 27th. They're going to have a 10th anniversary celebration exhibit. And it's going to have behind-the-scenes photographs, costume sketches, maquette models, various other things like this. Yes?
10th anniversary of what?
I'm sorry, The Lion King.
At the Time Warner Center? That's irony.
Yeah, the exhibit's going to feature two fully costumed wax figures of Rafiki and Scar that were developed by Madame Tussauds of New York. And it's also going to showcasing, you know, the beauty and artistry of the Broadway version of The Lion King. So it's going to have the Julie Taymor stuff and whatnot. They did something similar to this, much smaller scale. But when they opened the Disney Store new brand in the South Coast Plaza, I think that's when they did the Lion King tour, was there, and I saw something similar. It's really impressive. If you're in the New York area, it runs from April 7th through the 27th, and I would really recommend it based upon what I had seen in the previous exhibit.
You remember when we went to go to John Hench's Celebration of Life at Universal?
Yes, I do.
Yes, we do.
That was...
You know, I'm going to interject again because I've got something. I actually have something more to say,
okay.
Believe it or not. I thought of something that I could bring up.
It's your show.
That I was amazed that when I looked, I learned something new today because I go to laughingplace.com.
Good site. Sometimes.
And then I see the front page and I think to myself,
what
Wally
a wonderful...
Bogue is still alive?
Oh, dude.
Yes, yes.
He is alive and kicking.
Yeah.
And
then someone kicked him and his teeth fell out.
And fell out.
So it's like you learn something new every day.
The whole gang. Oh, I know Wally Bogue and Betty Taylor are still alive. Honestly, yes. I don't know if Fulton Burley is, which
no,
I know
he
bad
did. Remember
about.
That when we talked about how he was an Irish tenor?
Yes.
But he wasn't really an Irish tenor.
You're right. I do remember that. He died somewhat recently, within the past year, I guess.
And so when Rebecca makes those hangman, Disney hangman, you have to... Keep
that
in mind.
So right.
Oh.
Okay,
seriously, Disney fans, if you ever want to win at a game of Hangman, and it's anything Disney, choose Wally Bogue. Because think about the letters in there. They're so random. Those aren't letters that people typically choose. And I have seriously won at least a half dozen games of Hangman against Doobie. With Wally Bogue.
Wait.
That's the shock.
He falls for it many times.
Oh, many, many times.
Shut
including,
up.
Remember that time you joined us at Carrabba's not too long ago?
Yes.
We had just gotten through I-1 with a Wally Bogue.
That's embarrassing.
So I recommend that. Because think about it. Who's going to pick a W or a Y?
Or a Lee.
Me now, I'll let you know.
So it's a great one. So if you're playing against a Disney fan and it's all things Disney, Wally Bogue.
Wally Bogue.
And for those of you who don't know who Wally Bogue is, we will share it with you. He was the original headline performer at the Golden Horseshoe Review. So when you see that special with Annette Funicello singing and Betty Taylor doing her lovely Slewfootsu numbers, and there's the traveling salesman comedian, that is Wally Bogue. Amazing, amazing vaudevillian-style performer who I saw perform not too many years ago. Maybe 10? No, not that many, because we've been married that long, so it must have been about 7 years ago we saw him perform, and he was still really delightful.
And also...
We saw him perform at Bill Justice's birthday party.
That was more recently than that.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say, and also as of today being April 3rd, that you can hear him as the voice of Jose at Disneyland's Tiki Room.
Oh, good point. Actually, but I almost fell out of my upper perch.
Wrong parrot.
No, whatever happened to Rosita?
Whatever happened to Rosita?
Pay attention, it's Joe time. Is that the
so
right
word? It is. And what darling people I have sitting in.
Fanboy, it's your turn.
Fanboy, you rascal, you. Let's put on the show.
I'll do it for 3 Scooby snacks.
If you hurry up, I'll make dinner.
Okay. This came across my desk.
Well, you printed it and put it there?
Yes, it did. In fact, I hire a guy just to put things on my desk so I can say, this came across my desk. And then it falls. I shine it and make it slippery and so that it just literally just comes across the desk and falls off the other side. So I picked it up. And Jason Brennick, who most recently served as Studio's Vice President of Distribution Strategy, which is such a small title, has been promoted to the newly created position of Senior Vice President, Worldwide Digital Cinema and Cinema Programming. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 words. So congratulations, Jason. The reason I found this interesting is Jason's job now is to work on cinema programming. And for those of you who might think that's movies, no, you are sadly mistaken. Because in the parentheses it says, any non-movie content, including 3D or live events, delivered to theaters enabled by digital cinema. An example of this would be the Hannah Montana Miley Cyrus Best of Both Worlds concert tour. And the football games and basketball games ESPN has been syndicating to theaters. So it looks like Disney's really trying to get into using those theaters as destinations for venues outside of movies. And I know they've been talking about these things like Show West and Show East for years. But Disney's really the first studio that's gone and made a real movement with it. So it'll be interesting to see if it plays out. Because I don't know if people are willing to do it or not. But if they are... Cha-ching.
So while people are doing everything they can to recreate the movie experience at home, Disney is taking things that people happily do at home and putting them in a movie theater.
And I was thinking about, how cool would it be if, though, because it doesn't need to be nearly as the distribution can be very precise, hence why we go and see the opera as being advertised all the time, which is probably not have the widest fan base. Well, maybe widest because the fat lady, but, but they maybe they could do things like broadcast red carpet premieres of, The Little Mermaid on Broadway or attraction openings, to people or, Disney Channel games live at...
I just think it's funny. The most likely way you'll see a red carpet is either on the big screen or on the internet.
Right. So I'm thinking maybe if they move these internet things, which I think people, the internet's not really a good mode for it. I don't think sometimes. I mean, if you're interested, but you lack the sort of the participation quality.
Yeah.
But I think, Disney owning ESPN, though, is also a big asset because people like, watching sports. I mean, I went when the Anaheim Angels were playing in the playoffs, I would go to the Anaheim Arrowhead Pond at the time, Honda Center now, and watch games there just because you want to be there with other people cheering and stuff. So I wonder, obviously, they promoted this guy. They're having some success. Hannah Montana was a huge success. It'll be interesting to see if this becomes a big it's never going to be huge, but a growth sector for Disney.
So this is pretty much everything in theaters except movies, right?
Right.
So, I mean, he's in charge of Disney's First Look program?
That's what I'm wondering, that kind of stuff.
And oh, wow. Although, he's your new hero.
I still love that. My favorite line is still cinema programming, which, of course, is non-movie content.
Of course. Let's see, what do I got? We went to Epcot today.
Yes, we did.
We went to Interventions. We saw a new attraction. It's called What's Your Problem? No, well, is that it?
That's the name of the game show within.
Never really knew my
too many to
cousin. And that means a lot. You know how hard it is not knowing your cousin? And then I grew up and, there's not a lot of Disney fans out there. You're a little awkward and you go to college and you're still watching Disney Channel, but you're pretending you switch over to MTV when anyone walks in and you're pretending that you're really hip, but you really just want to watch The Suite Life of Zack and Cody. And then you move out and you realize, you need to try and find people that share these. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Did I share too much?
Fanboy went emo on us.
He asked me what my problem was.
As we wait for Doomy to get his composure, the new What's Your Problem show appears within the exhibit on Velcro, which is where they used to have a stereo system exhibit.
Stereo. I think was probably the worst example of a home theater stereo ever in existence.
Was it Infantasound?
What's your problem? It's all about Velcro.
Yes. Hook and Loop.
I can never figure that out.
Velcro is a brand name.
Velcro is a brand name. The product itself is actually a hook and loop fastener.
I have a question. So Velcro is sponsoring it, but uses a generic name?
No, they just explain that it is a hook and loop fastener, and it is branded Velcro. Velcro standing for the combination of the words velour and crochet.
They perhaps hook have to say that to keep from losing the Velcro trademark to a generic, you know? Maybe. Like Frisbee, Kleenex, you know? Xerox. Anyway.
Those are the three everyone uses. Is there a
fourth?
Band-Aid?
Velcro. Oh, Band-Aid's good.
TiVo.
Thank you.
No. Yeah. TiVo will go there.
Anyway, unlike most interventions exhibits where you are talked to or purely, you know, you sit there in front of a machine or something.
Without interaction.
This is a game show. Yeah. Where you stand in line. You walk in, you play this interactive game
show.
It has three rounds. Absolutely funny. Obviously involving Velcro. One, they have a bunch of kids try to build stuff, stack it as high as they can, sticking stuff together with Velcro. Our favorite was when I went up there and had to put on this big Velcro rope kind of thing, and Rebecca had to stick as many things as
she could. See, it's funny
that
he keeps saying this Velcro rope. He put on a velour robe.
I'm sorry.
And I had the loop part. And everything I had the hook part. And so,
together it's Velcro.
Yes, I know. But it's just funny because the robe itself is not a Velcro robe.
Velcro sticks to Velcro.
Okay, whatever. No, see, it's a hook and loop fastener.
It's the smooth part and the rough part.
Yes, exactly. He had the fuzzy part.
I had the smooth part. She had the rough part. And she had to stick stuff against me. And there was another couple doing.
In the first round, it was little kids. In the second round, they chose two couples out of the audience. And in the third round, they chose dads out of the audience. And in the second round, it was tote bags that had the Velcro straps on them. And so you had to put something in the bag and then stick it to the partner. And whoever had the most bags on the partner won.
It was very funny. I mean, the show really is funny.
That was hysterical.
The two hosts, there's a male and a female. He's
Hank
funny,
Hoop.
And she's something Loop.
Yeah. No, it's Loop.
Samantha Smooth.
No, it was Hook and Loop. So Hank Hook, and the whole thing is how she's trying to get him to understand that the loop is just as important as the hook.
Yeah. And she's adorable.
And they're very
it's hard
adorable.
To imagine all the hosts are this good, but they probably are.
They were just delightful to watch,
so cool.
the two performers.
And so you do the game show, and then you exit, and that's it.
And you get stickers.
They give you stickers?
Yeah.
If you participate as a participant. As a participant, you get a I'm a winner sticker or a sticker for stick-to-itiveness if you don't win.
They give you the inferior adhesive.
They can't give you a Velcro sticker? No, they give you a... That's speaking of irony, so you know every year they give out Earth Day buttons?
Yes.
This year they decided not to. And when someone told me... Because we ended up throwing too many of them away.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Just thought I'd share.
I'm sad, though, because I collect Earth Day buttons. I've had many cast member friends over the years who give them to me.
Now you can say your collection's complete.
I know, that's kind of
nice.
That's
neat.
Well, now I have to make sure I fill in the
gaps.
All the Earth Day buttons, I think.
Gadgets and gizmos.
It's amazing.
We recommend the Velcro exhibit, and we applaud Interventions for creating an exhibit that,
while being in the waste management,
purely fun, is still teaches us about Velcro.
Yeah. The kids loved it.
I went to the waste management exhibit.
Did you?
Yeah.
That one looks like fun.
They give you a certificate at the end.
Oh, cool. That you can throw away.
I think that's job.
That's job security.
Job security.
Podcast@laughingplace.com, 866-789-4008. That's podcast at laughingplace.com.
.com.
866-718-9408. Jay and Jack kind of does this thing when they give out their info at the end. Not really working.
You need to tell us that we're doing this.
I think we're on the same way.
Remember, you know, the Captain's Challenge are giving away.
We're giving away a watch.
World's End Pirates of the Caribbean wristwatch.
Why? And congratulations again to Pirate Princess. Surrounded by X's for winning the Enchanted DVD.
So while I have to, you know, go and pillage and plunder, I want you to send in, you know, go to the message boards, post for the Captain's Challenge, and maybe you will be the proud owner of one of these watches.
And until next week, we would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for those meddling kids and their mangy mutt.
Woo!
Sound like a hound dog.
Puppy power!